Hello and welcome to the Built Environment Marketing Show, and I am your host, Ayo Abbas. I'm a marketing consultant, content creator, speaker and trainer, and I work specifically with architects and engineers. If you want to find out more about me and my work, head to abbasmarketing.com. I'm also on the Committee for Build Up, which is a networking committee and group for built environment marketing pros. We run an online program of events and also in-person events. I wanted to share with you this recent interview that was done by one of our committee members, Dean, interviewing Nathan Spencer from UK Reef about all the things that are coming up if you are preparing for the show in Leeds next month. It was super useful. So rather than me running the same thing again, I thought I would actually use this episode and repurpose it from the interview that Dean did. I'll put links to both Build Up and UK Reef in the show notes. But to be honest, a lot of what Nathan discusses is also applicable if you're going to any event or show and you're looking to prep for what you need to do as a marketing person. Build Up will be hosting a Breakfast Fringe event on the Wednesday, the 22nd of May, Pinsent Mason's office in Leeds. So if that's of interest to you, I'll put a link into the show notes if you fancy joining us there during the event. Anyway, so let's get on with the show so you can listen to Dean and Nathan sharing some wise tips on what you should be doing for the show.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Build Up's first of what I hope is a series of 20-minute short sessions with some special guests and from people across the industry just to discuss various topics. My name is Dean. I'm the head of marketing communications for OneWorks, and I am on the steering committee together with a number of other people, particularly from comms and marketing backgrounds. I'm joined today here with Nathan. Nathan is the director of UK Reef. If you haven't heard of UK Reef, I'm not sure where you've been, but it is everywhere. It's a three-day event hosted up in Leeds. Nathan's going to give us a quick overview, because I'm sure you've all heard of it, and then take us through some steps on what we can do to become more prepared in the lead up. And I'm particularly interested in this because for the first time, we're actually bringing some people over from our headquarters in Italy to spend some time and foster more of a stronger network here in the UK. So, and I will be joining them, which is a first as well, because usually as a comms pro, I don't get to attend these things. So Nathan, over to you, mate.
Happy days. Thank you. Yeah. Hi, everyone. So UK Reef is what we try to say is a client heavy event. So we put a lot of effort in bringing together investors, developers, local authorities, end users, and we bring those together. That therefore brings the built environment with them. We started out in 2022, so it's still quite a new event. We're only into our third edition of the event. Very much jumping on the back of the pandemic, we saw a gap in the industry for a UK-based event, not a direct competitor to MIPIN, but a bit of a sort of a disruptor for those public-private sector partnerships to be brought forward. But particularly within the domestic sector, there's a lot of developers, there's a lot of capital out there, there's a lot of end users looking for space, and we thought actually there's probably a better place in the UK to be able to bring everybody together in a slightly more inclusive way, which is where UK Reef has kind of come from. So I won't go into too much detail of the event. What I'll do is I'm going to share my screen just to kind of give a bit of an overview of the event and how I would suggest kind of approaching it, particularly if it's a first-time attending or if you've been asked from some of your partners within the business to start putting a bit of a plan together. Because it is quite a large event. You can get a little bit lost with it.
There is one of those people first getting into trying to dig out what needs to be done, what done the head of the event is no easy task.
No, completely. And I would be the same. Having been to, the only event I can really compare it to is MIPIN, where there is content, there's a bit of activity, there's networking, there's bumping into people. And it will take a year or two to probably find out what's the most critical bit for you to do whilst at the event. Is it organizing meetings? Is it going to some of the content and having those chance sort of meetings with people? So yeah, but there's what we try to do is create a lot of content that's happening, but this year we've tried to put a lot of emphasis on partners doing content that's not just panel discussions, and there's a lot more variety within. So on the event website, we have quite a detailed program. It is quite heavy So you can download it and work through it that way, should you wish. And all coordinated to the site map over here, which outlines all of the activation zones. There's loads of outdoor pavilions, which are these little sort of boxes here. I've got an image which showcases some of these sort of outside. In 2024, we've grown that much that we've now got 19 new pavilions or activation zones. The pavilions go all the way down to this area. This road is now closed off and it goes all the way down here. And we've opened up a much larger space where we've taken out things like yoga studios, we've taken over offices, we've taken over co-working spaces. So the site continues to grow year on year. One of the best things I would say about it is it's quite easy to identify where the people you want to meet are if you're working at that kind of client side of things. So if you're looking to meet developers, asset owners, investors, councils, government, it is quite easy to find them because a lot of them have their own designated spaces within these areas. So as an example, British Land have their own dedicated space. They're inside a yoga studio, which they've taken over for 3 days. So not only are they going to be running content about things like Canada Water, but actually you can join them for drinks following the end of the day. And a lot of the locations do that type of thing. So another example on the Wednesday would be Aldi. You know, when are you going to meet Aldi's real estate team who are in charge of delivering their expansion and acquisitions across the UK? I think they're looking at trying to open 50 to 100 new supermarkets each year. You can just go and have breakfast with them, go and chat with their real estate team. It's a lot more accessible than some of the other events that are out there.
Do they have more of an open door policy where you can just rock up and chat to them?
Yeah. So Aldi's sort of throughout the day, they put on a breakfast here and the rest of it is from 10 o'clock onwards. It will be an open place to go and have a chat with them as well. This is more where they've put something on, but they would now and again work with us to make sure they're getting the most out of the event. They will do private events as well. And this is where we facilitate. And one of the things which is really different with us, with what we do with our partners, is we'll understand who they want to meet. In this case, they're looking to meet people like government because they're wanting to help accelerate planning. And they want to be involved in that conversation. They want to meet new locations where they could potentially open new supermarkets. So we'll work with them. We will invite people to that event that fit that criteria. Then at the same time, they also have an open door policy with some of the other events that are taking place. You'll get the same with JLL. So, you know, we know what JLL are there for. So they'll do a mixture of content.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that we brought to them is the Association of Real Estate Funds who we're working with, primarily because AREF can bring with them a number of funds and investors who are looking to deploy capital. We know that that's something that JLL are keen to talk to. So we can bring them together. We're doing something for JLL. We're doing something for the investors. And at the same time, having those investors in attendance is going to sort of enhance the experience of the event by bringing more developers and more local authorities and more government with them. So what I would probably suggest with the program, because it is pretty, it can be a little bit overwhelming, is you really need to target who you're looking for. So, you know, creating what you want to get out of the event as a starting point. If you're wanting to go for thought leadership and you're looking to hear, I would be downloading the program and I would be searching for keywords like, you know, sustainability, if that's what you're looking for, and having a look at what some of those events will be hosted. If you're looking to meet, you know, it's business development and you're specifically wanting to meet a number of developers, I would be looking at more of the networking, or I would be looking at the speakers, and actually you turn up the speaker then 10 minutes before they finish so that you can then meet those speakers at the end and then you can move on to your next and the next. So it all really depends on who you're coming to meet. But there is a lot of people that you can just walk in, open door policy with. There is a lot of clients. Outside of the ones that are mentioned up here, there's a few that aren't on the website yet. So Legal & General, from a pension fund perspective, they have a designated space. The UK Infrastructure Bank, Phoenix Group, another pension fund. So bringing that type of level of client to have their own designated space, again, it just enhances everything that's going to take place, because they're the ones that people are going to want to meet at a client level. One of the key things as well is the fringe activity. So what we try to do is make sure that there's a lot of content happening between the day to bring people into the event. But then on the mornings and the evenings, we actively promote the fringe activity to make sure people are sort of outside the walls can also enjoy some of the content, not just within the walls. We do try to do a lot of content within even the fringe stuff. So if you go to things like, I think of some of them that might have them now, but Newcastle, you know, they have a morning breakfast event, which is networking. They'll then have evening networking events. It'll be the same for the likes of Lloyds Bank, or do again, they'll have a lot of these pavilions will have drink receptions on an evening for networking. Yeah. And a lot of them are doing lunch events as well. Outside of that, we've also created a fringe tab, which allows people to see a little bit more into what they could do whilst they're at the event. So if you're arriving early on the Monday, you can go to a welcome to Leeds event. There's a couple of private dinners going on, drink receptions. Early mornings, there's things like morning runs and yoga, all the way to sort of tours of the city. It will be quite clear on here which ones you do and do not need to register for. Yeah. A lot of them, if you have a look at where the locations are, will be quite clear. You know, if you want to go to this drinks reception, it's at the Boulevard Studio, which is inside the event wall. Same with this one, same with this one. But as soon as you get later on in the day, as soon as it hits 5 p.m., there's a lot more that happens in the city centre. A lot of them are kind of drink or networking receptions. Some of them, like Women in Architecture, are putting on panel content. And as I say, there's a few sort of walking tours, heritage tours across the city as well, which we're actively promoting. A big focus from a D&I perspective as well. So we work to put on an LGBT-friendly event within the kind of quarter within Leeds. And then there's a kind of a closing drinks on the Wednesday as well, which again is labelled as an LGBT Q plus event. So there's a lot of us trying to incorporate activity that's within the program that is accommodating to all. You know, from my side, it's always nice having those sort of safe spaces when you come to large events like this, where you know that your community is kind of represented. But there is a lot of stuff that we put into that sort of D&I side on the whole. And I think that's why one of the reasons it's been quite successful. There is a space on the website that details some of the stuff that we do from a social value and D&I perspective. We partner with about 70 organisations from a D&I perspective. Some of them are down here. We give away over £1 million, or we have done this year, over £1 million of complimentary tickets, speaking opportunities, charitable donations to these organisations and others. So we're trying to go, not just kind of ticking the boxes, we're trying to do the work and showcase that we're living it rather than just kind of talking about it.
Yeah.
And actually,
a problem sometimes.
Yeah. And I think we've actually seen quite a lot of movement on the events as well. You know, not to highlight MIPIN too much, but I've seen that MIPIN this year have brought on their MIPIN challenges. We've seen that they were starting to incorporate D&I organizations like Land Collective, Crew Network, which is the first time that we've seen them properly engage from a D&I perspective. So I think, yeah, not just ourselves, but different companies who are leading from an event perspective on areas like D&I is pushing others into making sure that they're doing the same. Yeah, there's loads of information.
Are you finding more of an international audience coming your way now that UK Riff has kind of gained traction within the UK market?
To a degree, yes. I mean, your team are coming from Italy, so we'll take that one. We've tried to put in a bit of work behind it this year, and we're not sure on what angle to go from. It's probably moving more into a thought leadership perspective, yeah, in terms of we're bringing over the likes of New York Economic Development Corporation, the State of Illinois, Transport Department. We've got about 7 or 8 coming from Iceland, which is, they've got a big kind of airport city development that they're looking for help to meet other airports from the UK for thought leadership, but also looking to meet developers, investors and consultants to help them bring the projects forward. So we've got a couple that are coming over to understand from is there an opportunity for them to find investment or developers at the event. Some of them are coming over from a thought leadership perspective. Lille, Kharkiv in Ukraine. We've got South Africa are coming as well with the Nelson Mandela University. They've got a big focus on hydrogen and working quite closely in the Thames Estuary. So yeah, we're doing a lot to try and bring that international flavour to the event, which naturally is attracting a few more sort of, you know, your architects and the like. We've seen a bit more of an international uplift this year, but we've not really marketed too heavily to them as of yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our happy zone is the UK. And yeah, we'll maybe get that thought leadership piece picked up in maybe build a lot more from a 2025 perspective.
So
there's lots on. I would probably suggest individual questions are kind of the easier way to go if there's sort of things that you're unsure of, to just send us a note and ask away. I understand it is quite heavy, but I always say setting out what you want to achieve from the event first is a priority, and then finding out where those people are going to be and making sure that you're in those rooms. And don't be afraid to ask for an invite to some of the invite-only events, or the some which are interactive roundtables, workshops, where it'll say on the website, due to it being a workshop, spaces are limited. Yeah, ask away. If it says that on the website, throw us a question over to see if you can get in the room, if you want to be in the room.
Yeah, that's the kind of mistake that I first made, is that I felt like I was a bit too late to the game when I was looking at potential events to do in the evenings. And a lot of them were saying, you know, invite only, or, you know, not taking bookings. But I can see that there's events that are continuously being added, amended, updated. So I'll definitely take a second look and then maybe look at these programs to see where we can, you know, attend the thought leadership, but then be there for the networking afterwards. Because I think us as a company, I think the networking side of things is the most important thing. Also getting in touch with existing clients, you know, being able to recognize where we can meet with them easily and then go on from there is really good. But having that policy of just walking in and chatting to them where they're taking over quite a large space looks like it'd be quite beneficial.
Yeah, no, totally. And I would also say, be cheeky. The amount of times at other events where if you pretend that you should be in the room, you know, if there's an invite-only event and you really, really want to be there and you can't get in, in most cases at other events, I just go up to the door anyway and I'm like, oh, no, I got invited. Yeah. 98% of the times.
As comms professionals, we know this very well.
the person on the door doesn't know. Get yourself in the room. So yeah, I'm not going to say it works at our event, but I know it works at other events, so I would assume it may do. Just to answer the question from...
Yeah,
so global firms looking to gain more work in the UK. Again, it's all about targeting who that is. You know, if it's going to be developers, or if it's going to be end users, you will have an ideal, I suppose, of what target market you're after in terms of housing or and resi, or maybe it's healthcare, or maybe whatever it would be. It's looking through that program and identifying who your targets are, are speaking. Because if you're looking to enter the UK, in most cases, it'll be at that client level. And making sure that you're going to the events that, you know, there's one of them on there called the Big Residential kind of Fringe event. There's one on there, which is the Department for Leveling Up. Housing and Communities are running a networking kind of meet and greet. Those are the ones that obviously you know that clients are going to be attracted to, and therefore they're the ones that you would be suggesting getting into a room with. And working with agencies as well. There's an architect who's just looking to move into the UK, who's just set up in London. And again, they've got no work at the moment. They're looking to enter the market. They've come with a comms agency, and their comms agency have been very good nudging us to try and get them in the room. They're focused on heritage regeneration around heritage assets. And because we've got a good relationship with that comms agency, we've got their architect into a roundtable with Historic England and a number of developers. So again, it's that relationship build. From our end, we work off relationships. Comms agencies, comms partners, if there's a benefit of a lot of what we get at the moment is people knocking on doors wanting freebies, but they've not supported us, or you know, being involved from day one, or there's not much in it for us in terms of knocking on a door going, oh, can we have a free ticket? But when there's a good relationship built, which we have with many of the comms agencies, we also have with a lot of the D&I groups, we also have with a lot of the sponsors. Yeah, I would say that those are probably the best routes in.
Yeah, we have the same challenges at the moment as a largely Italian-based company. We're working across Europe, but obviously UK market is obviously a very tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
But I think the more people you talk to, whether they are direct clients or potential partners or something that, you know, another practice that you can offer or complement your services to, I think the secret, like you said, is just strengfenting those relationships, because you never know where those conversations will take you. So the more people you talk to, the more people you engage, and the more support you provide to other people, you know, in a kind of a you do me a favor, we'll do you a favor sort of thing, it goes a very long way in strengthening that relationship as well.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Happy days. I think we're getting to the end. I don't want to...
Yeah, I think so. Has anyone else got any more questions? If not, we'll go grab another morning coffee and get on with our day.
Yeah, and reach out to me if there is questions you don't want to ask live or, yeah, anything separately. Drop me a line. We're really personable in terms of we try to make sure that we have personal chats. Is there a way to export the program into a spreadsheet? Yes, it's on there. Or some of the feedback from last year, which we have now implemented. So if you go into the program tab, it just says download program, and it should export it into an Excel. Again, we're an SME, so it's really difficult to be getting sort of really fancy things on the website. I think it doesn't do is update you every time that it's a change has happened to the program. So I'd probably say the deadline we've set is the 8th of April, so Monday. So after that point, there should be very little movement and change on the program from the downloading. Then we can do a clearer view of it.
Brilliant. Well, I've got a few more questions and then I will get in touch with you separately on that, because I think we're in the same boat as many of your other people that you're helping out. So let's have a chat maybe in the next day or two.
And I should say, lots of press. I know Dominique's just written in as well to the comments. There's lots of press coming, more than last year. So if there's any of you with announcements to make, anything to, you know, any reports to publish, anything that you want to do from a marketing perspective, yeah, drop us a line, tie us in. And Dom's going to be the one that leads from our side through South Facing and her team in terms of connecting those dots between press and conversations.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time, Nathan. I really appreciate it. And I know everyone on the call appreciates it as well.
Happy days. Cheers, Dean, and cheers for everyone else. Happy days.
Thank you,
see you later.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Built Environment Marketing Show Build Up UK Brief Mashup. I hope you found it useful. Don't forget that you can also review the Built Environment Marketing Show on both Apple and Spotify. Take care. Bye.